Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Tuesday is Golden Oldie Day here at Offbeat Oregon, which means I'll be reading from one of my very first columns written back in 2009. Thank you again for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. Most Oregonians have at least heard of the floods of 1996. It was something to see. For folks in places like Kaiser and the Mohawk Valley north of Springfield, it was devastating. Before that, many longtime Oregonians remember the Christmas flood that made history in 64. And really longtime Oregonians may remember the last one before that, 1948 monster that swept away the town of Vanport on the Columbia River north of Portland proper. But the more modern floods share an interesting characteristic. They happened after flood control dams had been built to tame this crazy Willamette River Valley. Places like Foster and Green Peter, Detroit Lake, Lieberg Lake, Dexter, Cottage Grove Reservoir, they weren't built to give you a place to fish. They were built to keep your house from floating away. Before the dams were in, the Willamette could be a rough neighbor. The very birthplace of the state, the town of Shampooey, at which citizens voted in 1843 to form a territorial government, washed away all but one house in 1861. That same year, the flood took away the town of Orleans across the river from Corvallis. All that's left is a church that was built high on a knoll nearby. Well, since then, the biggest flood on record has been one that poured over the riverbanks in 1894 and kept much of the Willamette Valley underwater for weeks. Down at the north end of the river, where it flows into the Columbia, the fast-growing town of Portland had learned to live with seasonally rising water with classic Oregon rough-and-ready style. When the river levels rose, storekeepers stacked piles of bricks on the plank sidewalks in front of their establishments to prevent them from floating away and built quick and dirty bridges to help pedestrians get from shop to shop without getting soaked. Without getting soaked any more than usual, that is. Even in the biggest flood, in 1894, no one seems to have considered closing for business until the floodwaters receded. A downtown Portland hotel built a temporary false floor in its lobby so guests could keep their feet dry. The cook at the Bureau Saloon brought a rowboat into the kitchen and stood in it while he worked. Not exactly sure how that happened. If you've ever tried to stand up in a rowboat or a canoe, you know it's a trick. The Meyer and Frank department store built raised walkways for shoppers, and shoppers came, many by boat. Erickson's Saloon downtown, known at the time for having the world's longest bar, a monster counter longer than two end-to-end football fields, basically running all the way around the outside walls of the building. The insides of the outside wall, right? The bars weren't outside. Okay, you got that. Moved into a houseboat they did, which the owner anchored in the middle of the canal that was formerly known as Burnside Street. Bill Sullivan reports in his book that more than 1,500 boats crowded through the town's streets, and some folks in Chinatown staged an 8-block boat race downtown. 1,500 is a lot of boats. I'm not sure that isn't a little bit exaggerated. In the 1894 flood, one lucky angler found a very special fishing spot, too. The Union Station train depot downtown. This fisherman managed to bag a 15-pound steelhead trout inside the station. You can still see the high water marks on an old stone building at 133 Second Avenue. A 5-foot-high line made in 1894 and a 2-foot-high mark made in the 1948 flood, the one that washed away Vanport. Sadly, the original marks on the building have been washed away in some ill-thought-out beautification project and replaced with a pair of placards that show the water levels with arrows. But without the valley's dams and the 32.5-foot seawall built along the Portland waterfront in the 1920s, there likely would have been many more. Most likely 64 and 96 would have been among them. Despite the best efforts of flood-controlled dams, both of those events brought river levels within inches of pouring over the seawall into downtown. According to the city of Portland, the flood in 1894 reached 37 feet, the 48 flood, 33.5 feet, the 64 flood, 30.5, and the 96 flood, 31.75. 31¾ feet is awfully close to the top of a 32½-foot seawall, isn't it? This story was first published on September 16th of 2009, under the headline, When the Waters Rise, Portlanders Raise the Sidewalks. Key sources included works by William Sullivan, Rachel Dresbeck, PortlandWaterfront.org, and PDXHistory.com. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I do hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. Check out our anchor page at offbeatoregon.com to explore all the other things we do. Visuals that go with today's show can be found at offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Got an idea for a show I should do? Email me at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Also, let me know if you're ever going to be in Corvallis with time for a cup of coffee or a pint of Hammerhead. Our next show is going to be coming your way around 6 a.m. Wednesday morning. And until then, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.